let's read, please, our passage, Revelation 21, and we're reading from verse number 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And that's rather interesting, because I guess if we're reading this for the first time, we'd be anticipating some description of a lady. But then verse number 10 tells us, And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And observe, please, during our reading, there are 7 references to the numeral 12. Had 12 gates, and at the gates, verse 12, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, in the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length, and the breadth, and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits. And for our mathematical people in the audience, you'll be able to do something with 12s in that as well, I'm sure. It had 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Verse 18, And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. That's very beautiful. Every several gate was of one pearl. Can you imagine the size of this pearl? Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple. And observe the 4 no's in these verses. And I saw no temple, number 1, therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the temple and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had, number 2, no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be, number 3, no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it, and there shall in, number 4, no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, the seventh reference to the Lamb, by the way, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I mean, to trust that God will richly bless us again as we consider together this lovely passage from the book of Revelation. There is little doubt in my mind that verses 1 to 8 describe what we are going to see tomorrow as the eternal state. Some say the verses we've read together as a continuation of that eternal state, others as a revision, a reversion to the millennial scene. I think it is a reversion to the millennial scene, and I think what we have before us in the passage we've read together is a picture, a detailed outline and description of the millennial celestial city in which the bride, who has now come from the marriage, is going to enjoy the presence of her bridegroom throughout the whole of the millennium. And so we are going to be in this literal celestial city. I believe it is a millennial scene for the following reasons. Number one, there is mention of kings and nations. That's in verse 24 of chapter 21. There is requirement for healing, as indicated in verse 2 of chapter 22. The fruits yielded her fruit. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Number three, there are mention of months, again in chapter 22, verse 2. You'll observe, yielded her fruit every month. So we're still in time. And because of these three reasons and others, I would submit to you that we have a millennial scene. There won't be kings and nations in eternity. There'll be no need for healing for sure, and there'll be no mention of time. The clock and the calendar will have gone, and we won't be too worried about keeping strictly to time. In addition, I believe this is a satellite city. I think this is a satellite city that's going to be sitting above the city of Jerusalem. Our Lord Jesus, as we saw from Psalm 24, is going to rule as a shepherd sovereign from the city of Jerusalem. And over that city, there's going to be the city of Jerusalem, there's going to be a celestial city. And this literal celestial city is going to be a satellite city that's sitting above Jerusalem. Now, a few years ago, the idea of a satellite city would not have been considered appropriate. But nowadays, we have satellites up there all the time. In fact, I think two of them had a bit of a crash. You can hardly imagine how in space two things actually hit each other, just as two submarines managed to hit each other in the Atlantic. Fancy all of that Atlantic and actually two submarines hitting each other. And they were nuclear submarines that are there to determine what other things are in the area. And there they were hitting each other. What a tremendous embarrassment it was to the French and the British Navy. But we couldn't have imagined a satellite up there some years ago, but now satellites are quite common. And of course God is capable of putting a satellite up there, surely. If man can do it, then God can do it. And I believe there's going to be a satellite celestial city described for us in the verses we've read together, sitting above Jerusalem, and you and I are going to be in that city, and we're going to enjoy the presence of our bridegroom, and our Lord Jesus is going to reign from Jerusalem, and his bride is going to be in the satellite city enjoying the presence of her bridegroom and enjoying the opportunity of reigning during the millennial kingdom. There are six things I want to observe with you, and our time is limited. Number one, we are going to see that it's a mountain scene in verses 9 and 10. He carried me away, we are told in verse number 10, to a great and high mountain. So we have a mountain scene. Number two, we are going to see the distinguishing marks of the city in verses 11 to 14. Then thirdly, we're going to see the measurements of the city, verses 15 to 17. You'll observe, verse 15, he had a golden reed to measure the city. Then we're going to see the materials of the city from verses 18 to 21. And what a list of materials we have here. We've got gold and pure gold. We've got jasper. We've got precious stones. We've got pearls. What a list of tremendous materials we have here. Then fifthly, we're going to see the majesty of the city. We observe the four low things that there are in verses 22 to 27. There's no need, there's no temple, there's no night, and no wise is anything going to enter into it that defileth. And then we're going to see finally the ministry of the servants. In the first five verses of chapter 22, we observed in verse 3, his servants shall serve him. So let's look at these six different details. Number one, the mountain scene. And it's interesting that it is a mountain scene, because we're going to get a tremendous view of a satellite city. And of course, if we're on a mountain, nothing is going to obstruct the view. And the Apostle John is carried away in the Spirit. He's in a spiritual experience, and he's going to have a mountain scene. Interestingly, the angel that details the description for him is the same kind of angel as detailed the description of the judgment of the great whore in chapter 17. It's an angel, one of the seven angels which have the seven vials. But in chapter 17, it's a wilderness scene. In our case, it's a high mountain scene. In chapter 7, it's an earthly scene. In chapter 19, a heavenly scene. In chapter 17, it's satanic. All of the details there are satanic. Here, it's altogether spiritual. And you'll observe that he says, come hither at the close of verse 9, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So he's going to give a description of the bride, the Lamb's wife, but then he gives a description of a city. And we ask ourselves the question, why didn't they tell us something about all those clothes that we saw earlier in chapter 19, the fine linen, clean and white? Why didn't they tell us about the bride all being dressed up? Well now, the intimate connection between a wife, a bride, and a city is everywhere accepted in the East, even till this day. And actually, what he's doing is showing us not so much the bride herself, but the place where the bride resides. He's going to show us the holy city, New Jerusalem, the place where the bride resides. And he's going to give us a picture of that particular city. This is the city for which Abraham looked. Abraham looked for a city which had foundations. Wow, this city has foundations, hasn't it? It's got 12 foundations, according to verse 14. And what foundations they are. And Abraham looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we have the mountain scene. Secondly, we have the marks of the city. And two things mark the city in verse 11 and verse 12. Number one, verse 11, having the glory of God. And here the very Shekinah glory of God is the very feature that marks the city. And as a result, her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And so the light of this city was crystal clear. It was one of fabulous wealth, as we're going to see. What a city. It's like a stone most precious. But then, not only having the glory of God, but in verse number 12, having a wall, and having, our authorized version says, had a wall. Actually, the idea is having a wall. It's not as if it's had it in the past and doesn't have it now. Having a wall, great and high. And then we're told several things about this wall. Number one, the wall has 12 gates. Verse 12, and then at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 12 gates, 12 angels, the names of the 12 tribes. And this is all very interesting, because as we go to verse number 14, we'll find the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So there are 5 twelves associated with the wall, 12 gates, 12 angels, 12 names of the tribes, 12 foundations, and 12 names of the apostles of the Lamb. There are other 2 twelves, as I mentioned. We've got 12 pearls in verse 21 and 12 manner of fruits in chapter 22, verse 2. So 7 twelves in all. What a wall this is. The wall, of course, is for separation and security. And there should always be a wall round our assembly, round our city. There should always be a wall for separation and security. It's for keeping out and keeping in. But very interestingly, it has 12 gates. And here is a picture of communication and administration. I'm sure if it was a Bible reading, that our friend Frankie would tell us that 12 is the numeral of administration. And here are 7 twelves in this city. And these twelves are indicative of administration, and 7 of them tell us of perfect administration in this particular city. But observe that 3 of the gates are on the east, and 3 are on the north, 3 are on the south, and 3 are on the west. And if this was a Bible reading, I would ask my brethren, why does he start on the east, and then go to the north, and then go to the south, and go to the west? And I haven't time to detail why. I'm going to leave that to you, and you can come back tomorrow. That's a bit of homework for this evening. You can tell me tomorrow, before I leave, why he starts on the east, and then goes to the north, and then goes to the south, and then goes to the west. So there's a little bit of homework. How beautiful the whole thing is. But the foundation, you'll observe in verse 14, the foundation of the city is the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And observe, please, there are only 12 apostles of the Lamb. There are more than 12 apostles, of course. You remember, Barnabas was an apostle, and there were other apostles as well, but only 12 apostles of the Lamb. And these were the apostles that met with our Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry. And you remember, when Judas was excluded because of his betrayal, then they needed to bring someone else in to make sure there were 12, but only 12, not more, not less, 12 apostles of the Lamb. And these are going to be the apostles who link Israel in the past with the church in the book of Acts. And we're going to see that they link Israel in the future with the church, as Israel is going to be the main nation during the millennial kingdom. So the 12 apostles of the Lamb are the foundation of the wall of the city, is going to link Israel and the church in the future in the administration of the millennial kingdom. And what's going to happen? Well, these angels of the gates are going to be those to whom the church communicates the administrative details of the millennial kingdom. You remember from John chapter 1 that our Lord Jesus said, you're going to see something even more than this, Nathaniel. You're going to see angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And why are they ascending and descending on the Son of Man? Well, they're ascending in order to receive communication from the church in the city, and they are descending in order to administer that communication that has been given to them by the church. And the angels are going to be those who are going to help in the administration of the millennial earth. Don't you know, said Paul, that you're going to judge angels? You're going to administer angels. My dear fellow believer, one day you're going to administer angels. Maybe some of you think you're married to an angel. I remember I had the story about two men that were walking down the road, and one said to them, my wife's an angel. The other said, you're lucky, mine's still alive. Well, Well, maybe you're married to an angel. Well, one day I want to tell you that you're going to administer angels. You're going to be communicating to angels at the gate of the city, and these angels are then going to come down to the earth, they're going to ascend and descend, and they're going to take what you tell them in order to administer the city. Remember, we're going to be over 10 cities or whatever, depending on our present service for the Lord, and then we're going to administer these angels, and these angels will administer the millennial earth, and we're going to be those who communicate through the apostles of the Lamb, the angels. And what do you think John must have thought as he looked up and saw this city? And you know what? He saw his name up there. He saw the apostle John, because there were 12 apostles of the Lamb in the foundations of the city. How surprised do you think he would be when he saw this picture? And here is a picture of what is going to be literal in the future. Well, we have the marks of the city, and we have the details of the marks of the city, having the glory of God and having a wall. But then we have its measurements in verses 15 to 17. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And here is the measurement, a golden reed, which is associated in chapter 11 with the temple, with the altar, and with worship. And observe, please, that all assessment takes its character from worship. And if you want to test the temperature of an assembly, it's not tested at the gospel meeting. It's not tested so much at the ministry meeting, it's tested at the worship meeting. Because all measurements take their character from worship. You'll observe, they had a golden reed, and the golden reed in chapter 11 verse 1 is associated with the temple, with the altar, and with worship. And what a measurement this city is. It's four square. It's the heavenly holy of holies. It's the heavenly sphere where God is going to dwell with his people. And it is, in our language, about 1,500 miles as a cube for a city. And the width of the walls, verse 17, are 70 meters. And you can see that 12 comes in here again. It's 144. What a measurement. But then we have the materials in verses 18 to 21. And what a series of materials. Number one, in verse 18, we have a jasper wall. The building of the wall of it was of jasper. We indicated earlier that the wall is for security and separation. But this wall is not only for security and separation, but it's a wall that's going to radiate the glory of God, because the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the jasper is going to radiate the glory of God. My dear fellow believer, that's what our assembly should do. That's what the wall of the assembly should do. It should radiate the glory of God. You remember that Joseph's bow went over the wall, and it's only if there's things going over the wall that the folks outside are going to come into the benefits and blessing. If there's not a fullness inside, there won't be blessing to the outside. But here is a city that's got a wall of jasper, and it's radiating the very glory of God. It's not so much keeping things in, it's shining things out. It's radiating the glory of God, the jasper wall. And then we have the pure gold city, verse number 18, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The word for pure means clear, completely transparent, flawlessly perfect. It's the same word as we saw this afternoon earlier, the wife of the Lamb, her garments were clean and white. The word clean is the same word here as for pure. It's pure gold, like unto clear glass. And then, not only do we have the jasper wall and the pure gold city, but we have the garnished foundations. And here are 12 precious stones. Some of them unique to this particular passage in our New Testament. And these 12 foundations, these garnished stones, and little wonder that Abraham was looking for a city which had foundations. What foundations are here? The foundations of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Can you imagine what the millennial earth is going to be like? They look up and they see a city, the like of which they've never seen before. And it's a city garnished with precious stones. And these stones are so magnificent and so big and so beautiful and so outstandingly precious that the wealth of the earth is as nothing. And those little Arabs, I hope they're not here today, who are really wealthy and have everything that money can buy, are going to look up. And you know what? They're going to see that their wealth means nothing. And the nations that are at the moment dripping with wealth because of their oil is going to seem absolutely nothing because of the preciousness of the garnished foundations of this tremendous city. My dear fellow believer, you're going to be in the city. We are going to actually inhabit this city. We are going to be in it. Literally, a city, a satellite city above the earth, a celestial city, and the world is going to look with wonder at the beauty of the garnished foundation. But notice further, verse 21, not only does it have a jasper wall, verse 18, a pearly gate, a pure gold city, verse 18, a garnished foundation, verses 19 to 20, but in verse 21, it has a pearly gate. Indeed, it has 12 pearly gates. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Can you imagine the size of this pearl? The gate was one pearl. Now, you gentlemen that buy pearls for your wife or your girlfriend, you know how expensive they are. They're precious stones. And that's only something that fits on your finger or goes around your neck. Can you imagine a gate made of pearl? Can you imagine the fantastic wealth associated with this city? And of course, everything belongs to God, as we saw in Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. It all belongs to Him. And every piece of material that's in the world was put there by God. It all belongs to Him. And He's made every gate was one pearl. Let me tell you what this signifies. Number one, the gate, of course, is the place of administration. It tells us of the beauty of divine administration. And it tells us that that's the kind of administration that God would love to see in His assembly. And let's ask ourselves the question, is our assembly administration something of peril? Is it a thing of beauty? It ought to be. Secondly, not only the beauty of divine administration, but the value of it. The pearl was the most valuable stone in the ancient world. I want to tell you, my dear overseeing brother, that there's tremendous value in divine administration. Number three, I want to tell you the origin of it. Where does the pearl come from? Number one, it couldn't be produced artificially. There should be no artificial administration among God's people. Secondly, it's not improved by human intelligence. And so that should not be the basis of administration in God's assembly. We don't become an overseer in the assembly because we have particular ability as an administrator in a business. Thirdly, overseership is divine in its origin. Apparel is divine. But then let's think of the process of effecting it. How does a peril come about? It comes about by suffering and death. And what a peril. The size of a gate, suffering and death. You remember the language of Acts 20:28. Feed the church of God which he hath purchased with the blood of his own. And what a lovely picture. And those who are overseers, not made by themselves, not appointed because of their intelligence, not appointed because of their administrative ability externally, but appointed because of the beauty of their administrative ability, and appointed by the Holy Spirit of God, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. But do you know what? If a peril is divided, it's valueless. And the implication and application is perfectly clear, I'm sure. A divided overseership in an assembly is valueless. And so we have the beauty of administration, the pearly gate. And then finally, in relation to the materials, the jasper wall, the pure gold city, the garnished foundations, the pearly gates, then in verse number 21, we have the pure gold street, the street of the city. And we sometimes sing back home on the golden streets of heaven. Well, there's only one street in the city. On the golden street, here is the street of the city, was pure gold, like transparent glass. One day, my dear fellow believer, you're going to walk on pure gold. What a prospect. But then we have the majesty of the city in verses 22 to 27. In these four no things, there's no temple. There's no need for a temple because the city itself is a temple. The very city is four square. It's a holy of holies. It's a cube. It's the perfect temple itself. Then, secondly, there's no need, verse 23, of the sun, neither of the moon. And the reason why there's no need of the sun or the moon is because the glory of God did light in it. You remember there was light before the sun in Genesis chapter 1. By the way, you don't need the sun for light as far as God's concerned. There was a light above the brightness of the noonday sun that shook the Apostle Paul. Remember in Acts chapter 9? It was a light above the brightness of the noonday sun. There can be light apart from the sun. And there's no need of the sun nor the moon because God is the light. And then there's no night there, verse 25. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Absolute security. No night and no need to shut the gates. And that means that there is always available for administration this lovely city. Then in verse 27, there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth. That would have been a great pity if that had been the case. But there's no possibility of anything that defileth entering into this city. And so we have the four no things. Finally, we have the ministry of the servants. I want you to observe, please, firstly, the source of the supply for their ministry. There's the book of life at the close of verse 27, which gives them eligibility. There's the water of life, verse number 1, which is pure and clear, which gives them the refreshment. There's the tree of life, verse number 2, and its location is on either side of the river, and its fruit is a nice variety, 12 manner of fruits every month, teaching that there should be a variety in divine ministry for God's people, because this tree is for the purpose of providing leaves for the healing of the nation, and that of course is the true purpose of all ministry as well. So the source of their supply is the book of life, the water of life, and the tree of life. And the sovereign who controls their supply is the one who is seated on the throne of God and of the Lamb. The sphere of operation in their ministry is indicated in verses 3 to 5. Let me just summarize very quickly in quoting. There's perfect sinlessness, no more curse. Perfect communion, they shall see his face. Perfect accreditation, his name is in their foreheads. Perfect transparency, no night. Perfect reality, no candle. There's no artificial power source. Perfect power, the Lord God giveth the light. And finally, the satisfaction evident in their ministry. His nature is indicated by the fact that they are servants, his servants. But his servants shall serve him. And we're now concluding where we concluded this afternoon earlier. And this afternoon later in both the meetings, we're concluding in the idea of worship. His servants shall serve him. And that word for serve is the word for worshipful service. And they're going to keep on serving. They shall keep on serving. And they shall reign forever and ever. And my dear fellow believer, we're going to be associated with the Lord Jesus in that coming millennial kingdom. We're going to be in this tremendous city. The world is going to wonder as it looks up and sees such a city, the like of which it has never seen before. The earth itself, of course, is going to be transformed during those days. But his servants shall serve him. We'll do it willingly. We'll do it gladly. We'll do it worshipfully. And we'll do it with him forever and ever.